out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 29th of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at Radio Arian. As it's Thursday, we're joined by Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from www.rusjournal.org. Matt, how are you doing this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever our listeners are?
Well, I'm hanging in there, Sven.
Well, that's good. That's good. What are you hanging from at the moment?
Well, you know, life isn't good to me, normally speaking. And now this propaganda video we're going to talk about today has got me all pissed off. Nothing gets my blood boiling like the U.S. military.
Yes. I was going to say.
Nothing pisses me off like those guys. It comes from my father, who was a Marine and who hated those guys in the Vietnam, post-Vietnam era. He was a Marine in Korea. And it just exploded from there. I mean, I just despise them. I mean, officers especially, mid-level officers especially. Marines are in a class by themselves, but Air Force and sometimes Navy. And that propaganda video is so bad, high school level, that I'm just absolutely livid.
Well, you better let the listeners know just which one of the propaganda videos it is you're talking about, because they do put quite a few out to try and big up the military, don't they?
The U.S. Army just released a video that's been carried by everybody. It's everywhere now. It's only about 50 seconds. And the claim is that they are engaging ISIS in a remote village that no one's ever heard of, and that a key ISIS commander has been killed. Now, I watched this video, which was done in the very dramatic night vision goggles. It's very brief. I didn't see any enemies whatsoever. I didn't even see these guys take cover. I didn't see any weaponry, nothing being shot from the other side. These guys were not being shot at. It looks so obviously and very poorly staged. And I love how it's in the middle of nowhere that can never be verified, because apparently ISIS there in Afghanistan is only in out-of-the-way places that no one can see, not anywhere important. If there were a real battle between the U.S. and ISIS that was worthy to be put on the news, you would have POWs, you would maybe have wounded Americans, you would have a firefight. I mean, after all, this is a group that fought the Syrian army to a standstill, right, for a couple of years. But in this ridiculous, you know, high school level dramatization, there's no fire coming from the other side because there's no enemies. There's no enemies whatsoever. The camera work is too good. It's not shaky like you would expect in a real firefight. There's no weaponry coming from the other side whatsoever. It's not just a propaganda video, but it's a bad propaganda video. And then I read about this massive $900 billion U.S. budget. And of course, I quip that apparently the propaganda budget is very small, if that's all they can come up with. If they're going to put a video of an engagement with ISIS on the air, you know, it would be much better than that. I mean, they didn't even bring in actors for this. It was simply what it appears to be is a training thing that was billed as something extraordinary in the middle of nowhere. And CNN even says, you know, you've heard of this place before, but that's where, you know, the ISIS commander was. And to think that the U.S. would be fighting its own creation. That's ISIS is only in Afghanistan because the U.S. has lost its fight against ISIS. But more generally, you know, I just absolutely despise the worship that American military officers get in this country, the six-figure salaries at a very low level, not the grunts, but officers, no taxes, the endless allotments, the fawning respect of Americans, despite the fact none of these people have ever seen a battlefield, the fact that their casualty rates are being suppressed, and the simple fact is that the U.S. hasn't won a war since World War II. And even there, it's iffy. Japan out of the war.
Was this the same Afghani Special Operations crack Marine squad that we were talking about last week? The expert star jumpers?
It actually says in the description of the video on CNN and the U.S. Army that on Facebook that the Afghan Special Forces took part in this operation. There are no Afghan special forces because what we saw in that video last week is probably the best they can do. There are no men in the Afghan security services, which are considered a joke, that are capable of being called special forces in any meaningful sense of the word. I didn't see anybody in this video with a beard or anyone who could even pass as Afghan. So even that wasn't true. The Taliban, which is growing in popularity and strength in Afghanistan, at least got a good laugh out of this. The Afghan Emirate website really is appealing to the American population, and they're irrationally saying, "Look at this defense budget, look at the failure. You know, tell your politicians to get your men out of here and let us run this country. We don't threaten you. We don't threaten your people. We don't have that capacity. Let us destroy we could destroy your opiate problem in a couple of weeks if you just let us." That's how they're appealing to the American people, and they're right.
Well, what about this this military budget then? Because I thought America just used proxy armies now. I thought they had ISIS, they had the Free Syrian Army, they had the rebels, they got their crack Afghan commandos, or should that really be smack Afghan commandos? But, you know, do you know what I mean? They pay for all these proxy armies and these mercenaries. So what is the American military budget for? What does it break down into, Matt?
$900 billion. Do you remember it was 24 hours prior to the 9/11 attacks that the Pentagon announced, I guess it was Donald Rumsfeld, announced that over $1 trillion had gone missing from the budget. And it was very embarrassing. They were trying to find it, a glitch in the system or something like that. And the next day, of course, the planes hit and everyone forgot about that Pentagon admission. Now CNN actually did some good work for once in their lives by breaking down this military budget and really making fun of it as it deserves. You're talking about almost $1 trillion a year, and 2/3 of the Navy planes can't fly. About half of the Air Force jets can't fly. But they're coming out with about $50 billion total, and that's just in construction, of two new aircraft carriers, despite the fact that both the Chinese and the Russians have carrier-busting missiles that can knock them out of a war in seconds. And even more than this, the Congress is giving the Pentagon more than it asked for. And it's giving them in areas that they don't want. You know, carriers are obsolete today. And this is where the money is going. It's going mostly to salaries because the bonuses now for the Air Force are in the six figures just to stay on. They're guaranteeing you promotion to major if you just stay in, adding insult to injury. More medals have been given out per capita in this Afghan campaign than in all of World War II put together.
What do you think?
So they're losing, but they're getting rewarded for it.
Do you think this is money laundering? Then they're giving out all this money and it's not actually going to be used for what they've said it is going to be used for, or do you think this is incompetence and that's why they're the fighters aren't working and the warships aren't functioning how they should be? Do you think it's incompetence or do you think it's money laundering?
I know a few people, for better or for worse, on the ground, actually, you know, enemies of mine, but I talked to them enough to know that it's a little bit of both. Competence is not the issue, generally speaking. But morale certainly is. Desertion has reached crisis proportion. No one knows what they're fighting for. Leaving Afghanistan, running away from Afghanistan is extremely common. Same thing for Iraq. And it's going to get worse if there's any kind of conflict with Russia or China or both. The technicians you know, pilots and these are decent guys. They just don't know why they're fighting. But how you could spend $1 trillion a year almost and have so much of the equipment non-serviceable generally suggests that this is going to something else. It's going to black ops. And because we don't have a draft, the U.S. is forced to improvise and then use the proxy armies like the crack commandos and the Afghan National Security Force, which many of us have already seen these videos of them that they can't even do push-ups. And they're you know, they face in the wrong direction when they're marching. And it's really, it's like a Three Stooges there, but it's mockery. And this money, I guess, is going for. And so I simply don't know. Now, I mentioned the Pentagon's admission of more than $1 trillion missing just before 9/11. That was squashed with, of course, the 9/11 events. And the Pentagon was hit the following day by a missile, I guess. So, you know, there's corruption. There's incompetence. But I think it's important to note that morale is extremely low.
Well, I've also just read something about this budget, and there's been some comment about Donald Trump needing money for the wall. So this huge military budget is so much there that he's hoping to be able to siphon some off for the wall. But if he was able to do that, then, you know, that would back up what you were saying, that this budget doesn't make sense. They've put in far too much money than what is actually needed. So people are going to be siphoning bits and pieces off from it. It really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And they keep talking about how warfare now is different to how it was. It's all cyber warfare and it's all propaganda warfare. And they claim that Russia's greatest weapon is the Russia Today news channel. Does it make any mention of that in this, or is it all just conventional military hardware that keeps breaking down? Because this is the other thing. I mean, you mentioned about the malfunctioning hardware, but I hear about that on the Russia Today news, talking about jets that have never functioned, never been able to get off the ground, and yet America is still throwing money at this, at all this hardware that just doesn't function. And I wonder, how is it that it doesn't function? Could it be because of the diversity hires? Could it be because of the affirmative action that you've got different races involved in doing this that aren't actually there because they've got the skills to be there, but are there just purely because they happen to be from a minority and they've caused these things to break down? I think this happens a lot in the military, where we hear of mistakes in the military. In fact, I'm fairly certain that a lot of them have been caused by lower IQ people that have been put in charge of it that are only there because of this minority status. I mean, these are all sort of questions that I would have about this budget and about the American military. What are your thoughts on those, Matt?
Well, a few comments. I have an enemy that we debate quite often at McCord, who will remain nameless, who gives me maybe, you know, who says that there was actually an event where at the base in Clovis, in Mexico, I believe, they raided a museum, one of the aerospace museums, for spare parts for some of its jets. The 235, the F, you know, two, I think there's like 300 F-35s now in service. They're mission capable, according to CNN, 26% of the time. The Super Hornet, which when it first came out was supposed to be this incredible helicopter, is almost entirely grounded for lack of spare parts. I have never met, and including the guy I'm talking about here, will tell you that there's not a single military man at any rank that will ever say that the U.S. military is a meritocracy. Absolutely not. Promotions are often arbitrary and have to do with closeness to a commanding officer and conformity. A lack of a political thought or anything like that. Someone who'll shut up and do what he's told will be promoted right away. I read a lot of Russian military blogs, and they make fun of the American Army all the time. They say going onto an American base it's like a cruise ship. They spend a fortune on all of this unnecessary stuff to make the military as, you know, like a college dorm. It is so soft, and the comparison, there was an article I read recently that the U.S. Army is too fat to fight. that a huge proportion of the soldiers are simply too overweight. Officers, again, I'm not talking about the grunts necessarily, but officers are there to get their college paid for. They're there for a great income. They're there to get laid. They're there for a lot of different things. But patriotism is certainly not it. And yet they'll go into a Walmart and demand special treatment because they're there to defend democracy, which, as you know, has led to many personal confrontations with me in the past. So the notion of promotions being anything but irrational is agreed to by everybody. And remember, many of these operations are done on a black budget. And when you have the heroin growing under the CIA's nose, and because of it, there's the poppies grown for legal reasons too, but that's only a small percentage of it. You realize that it's irresistible. You know, much of the black budget is being financed by it. And the Taliban, as I said before, they're appealing to the Americans, saying, "Let us destroy this. We could take a big bite out of your heroin problem. Let us destroy the poppies." But you won't, because you're profiting from them.
So you got a lot of nepotism and political correctness, and that's what's leading to people getting promoted. And you've also got this scandal of allowing transsexuals into the army. I mean, over here in Britain, we recently had three advertisements. One of them was aimed at Muslims, another one was aimed at people who cry, and another one was aimed at homosexuals, as if they are the sort of people that we want in our army. And I was very pleased to hear when Donald Trump said, "We are not going to have transsexuals in our army anymore." And that's something that I'd never really thought about. You think, how can you have transsexuals and not, how can you have people that need to inject themselves with hormones every 24 hours? Otherwise, you know, that they start reverting to a different sex. How can you have people in the army that have to dilate themselves and insert objects into themselves to stop their wounds from healing? And people that are going to be so unbalanced that they're, I forget how many times, more likely to kill themselves than anyone else. I mean, they're not going to be wanting to kill the enemy. They're going to be wanting to kill themselves. Yet because of political correctness, because we have to be inclusive, they talk about allowing them in the army. So what happened with that, Matt? Because I know Donald Trump wanted to stop it, but I did hear that judges had put a stop to him stopping that. So what's happened with that? Do you have transsexuals in the army over there, or do you not?
Actually, I was just reading about this. You're referring to a Johns Hopkins study from a few years ago, a longitudinal study that is over time, using Sweden as a model. And they picked Sweden because it's so liberal in these policies. And this is, you know, throughout the 80s, 90s, and today. And they came up between the suicide rate for those post-operation after 5 years is between 20 and 30 times the normal rate. This is not a medical issue. This is a purely mental and behavioral issue. There used to be very strict mental screening tests to, you know, get into any branch, you know, to get into the National, get into the Coast Guard, to get into any of, you know, the customs, any branch like that. You know, customs sees as much combat, or probably more combat than anyone else. But that has to be thrown out the window if the regime is going to be demanding this. And why? What's the obsession with bringing these people into the army rather than some other institution, if not to, you know, make a mockery of it? I mean, I think there's still some old-time Noam Chomsky leftists who think that the military is a conservative institution. I want to remind that old-style Alan Cranston leftist that every military base celebrates Diversity Day. Every military base has a homosexual pride parade, which is commanded. I have all the links. I've seen it on the base themselves. Every base has to do this. There was one day where the homosexual rainbow flag was over Camp Leatherneck in Central Asia, in Afghanistan. You know, for the Taliban to see, oh, thank God, the propaganda in their favor. You know, this is what the Americans are pushing. I want to stress very clearly that although the branches may differ in this respect, the U.S. military is a liberal institution, ideologically speaking, because of this stuff. Now, of course, you're always going to have conservatives, especially in the Marine Corps, that quietly condemn this sort of thing. Official doctrine is extremely liberal, and it makes sense because this is the doctrine that the regime is pushing when they invade a country. This is what they impose on the society. And to be honest with you, when they raise the rainbow flag over Camp Leatherneck, it kind of made me a little happy because now the Afghanis could say, okay, this is what they're promoting here. But you have some old, usually the older generation, Cold Warrior types who think that, you know, the military are conservative and we're there to promote, you know, conservative values. And how can an army be anything but conservative? And that's simply not the case. Go to any military-based website, and most of what it is feminist stuff and diversity day parades and stuff like that, that everyone is forced to participate in.
That's going to make the American military into a laughing stock. I mean, we also have women that are now supposed to be allowed into all the posts in the army that the men are over here in Britain. But we said that they do actually have to do the same tests as the men if they're going to be, in our equivalent of the Marines, the SAS, and they need to pass the same test. But they're calling for these tests to be lowered and the standards to be lowered so that they can join. If you've got women fighting alongside you, the natural instinct of the male is to protect the woman. So instead of doing their job, they're going to be watching for these women and trying to help these women out. And again, this has been taken from Scandinavia. I believe it's in Norway where they have the women even bunking in the same rooms as the men. It seems that the military has completely forgotten what its purpose is. I mean, its purpose is to defend our countries. And to defend our countries, you need to be the meanest, the hardest, the nastiest, the best. And that is not, that does not come naturally to women. That does not come naturally to transsexuals. I mean, our advert for the British Army was be the best. And they've changed that now because if you are the best, then that excludes everybody else who is the worst. That's what the point of these advertisements were, to make the army all inclusive, to bring in minorities, to bring in homosexuals, to bring in all these substandard people that are not going to be the best. That's why they took it out from it. So it seems to me as if the army has forgotten all the reasons for why we actually need a military. And it's just become, along with all the rest, a form of political correctness. And when you say they're the officers are the ones that are doing this, and the ones that are lower on the ground are angered by this. I think that's the same with the police. I mean, you've got the police that see who is committing all the crimes. They see the violent crimes. They see who's committing them. And then they've got their sergeants and their superiors telling them that, no, they have to go after hate crimes. That's more important. They have to go after criticism of ethnic minorities, criticism of perverts. That's far more important than attending to a rape victim or a burglary or somebody who's been mugged. All of that just gets swept under the carpet, and it's far more important to enforce political correctness. And now this is the same thing is going on in the army, when the army is, everything rests on the army, doesn't it, really, when you think about it? I mean, that's why we have a government. That's why we obey the government. They say, we will protect you. We will defend you from outside invasion. And in return, you obey our laws and you pay our taxes. You can boil it down to that. But if that group of people that is supposed to be defending you is no longer defending you and is all inclusive and inviting everybody in and has turned themselves into a laughing stock, then the government itself it delegitimizes the government, it delegitimizes the army, and it just leaves us open to ridicule and open to invasion, really, doesn't it?
Well, as I said, I read a lot of Russian military blogs done by officers and everything else, and it's already happened. They are a laughingstock. They post pictures of fat guys and gay marriages and everything, and we're not worried if anything is to happen. And they stress the idea that because of the ridiculous amount of money that officers are getting and bonuses, and it's in the six figures, I think I mentioned, in the Air Force to stay on. They're trying to compete with the airline pilots, which pay a lot of money. You know, you can do extremely well. You get a full colonel in the Air Force. You're doing extremely well financially. You'll be making almost $10,000 a month in your pension if you stay on 30 years with no income limits. Even that's not enough to get people to stay on. I know one of the reasons for the desertions in Afghanistan is, number one, this policy to allow, pederasty amongst the Afghans, which I think is a result of warfare and the destruction of morality rather than any kind of, culture over there. and number two, protecting the poppy field. It sort of makes sense for the regime to demand that the military become a liberal leftist institution, because that's what they're promoting. That's what they're fighting for. You know, they're not fighting Marxism anymore. They're fighting alongside Marxists now. And this is exactly why all of a sudden, you know, when I was a kid, the military was a bad word in most, except for the most conservative types of people. Today, they're almost worshipped. And the only reason for that is that the enemy has changed. These aren't Marxists anymore. These are almost exclusively nationalists and national socialists, whether it be Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein or Assad. Very similar ideologies, if you have noticed. And so the enemy has changed. Now all of a sudden, the bodyguard of capitalism is extolled while they're being radically transformed. Their job today is not to protect borders, which obviously they haven't done that, and they have no capacity to do that. Their job is to protect capital, to be the bodyguard of capitalist enterprises wherever they go. That's what they're doing, and this is why morale is so low. That and, of course, the total lack of meritocracy and the fact that you do have incompetent people all over the place with no real purpose, but their checks clear all the time because the government can't go out of business. And this is the wreck that it's in. But defending the country is not the issue. There's nothing to defend anyway.
I guess they're like glorified bailiffs, aren't they? But not even bailiffs, really. You've got countries that don't have central banks that don't want to be a part of the international banking system. And because they don't want to be a part of the international banking system, the army is sent in. You know, that's what happened in Iraq. That's what happened in Libya. That's what they want to do to North Korea. It's that's what the army is nowadays. It used to be a noble profession. It used to be people that joined because they wanted to be patriotic. They wanted to learn a trade. They wanted to defend their country. They wanted to, you know, step into the boots of their ancestors. And now it must be incredibly demoralizing to realize that you are fighting against people that have never even attacked your own country. And you're actually fighting on the side of these banks. You're fighting on the side of banksters. And it must be very, very demoralizing to do. I mean, I don't like to attack people that are in the army. I mean, I would hope that they do have a certain amount of patriotism as well as, you know, I mean, that must be why they originally went in there. But they are just being used for purposes which are against our interests, really. Going into places like Afghanistan. Now we've got ISIS blowing things up in Europe. We've got these jihadis that set off these bombs and attack people. They all say it because we are invading Muslim countries. We're going into Muslim countries which have never attacked us, or at least not for 600 years or so. I mean, they have come into Europe and took over Bulgaria and various other places, but they haven't been into Northern Europe. They haven't actually declared war against us, apart from this Islamic State group, which we were the ones that funded. I was just talking with Florian Guy yesterday about this Saudi prince who has admitted that all of Wahhabism was originally funded by the West as a way to defend against the Soviet Union. And yet now we claim they are the enemy when they're in Iraq, and we claim they are our allies when they are in Syria. I mean, it's all a pack of lies, and I'm not surprised people are killing themselves over it, Matt, getting suicidal in the army.
At this point, let me interject here. At this point, if anyone who believes that ISIS is not the creation of the U.S., is not directly under some command of U.S. intelligence, you are a moron. The information is so overwhelming at this stage. ISIS was created to maintain interest of Western populations in the war over there. This is why they're being accused of the most heinous crimes that no normal or even abnormal person would ever do, raping babies and selling babies in the black market, stuff like this. This is, you know, they're being accused of that every other day, the most lurid, you know, sex slave rings and all this. And I don't believe it for 2 minutes because this developed precisely at a time when interest in the war was flagging, when budgets were getting tighter and tighter, as military manpower is shrinking, morale is shrinking, They need this new enemy, so they invented these guys in wearing black in the desert, of all places, you know, with shiny new weapons and, you know, this incredible threatening Hollywood bad guy image, like a reverse James Bond type group. And, you know, anyone who buys that, I mean, it's got Hollywood written all over it, is a moron, is a fool, is deliberately being deluded. And the purpose of it was to rebuild Western interest in the war. And it's failed, thank God. But to think that they're not directed by the CIA is utter nonsense.
Well, it's a common tactic, isn't it? We've seen it happen so many times. They will set a group up to fight against another group, and then they'll lose control of it. I mean, Gaddafi was originally set up by the West, then they lost control of him. Saddam Hussein was set up by the West, then they lost control of him. ISIS was set up by the West, then they lost control of it. And the Mujahideen were set up by the West, then they lost control of it. So they set them up to fight against their enemies, and then sooner or later, they then become the enemies themselves, and the excuse for higher military budgets, and we need to go into this country, we need to take this country over. It's a cycle that we've seen regularly repeat itself over the last century. Matt, thank you very much for coming on today, and thank you for saying that you'll join me again tomorrow. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. As I say, I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Once again, God bless and hail victory.